Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our CPR series looks at certain topics that come up in life, and we attempt to discuss them in a way that relates to everyone. At times, we bring in the arguments of those opposed to the Word of God in order to practice contending for the faith that God gave His church. It is our prayer that you will be equipped to give a defense for the truths of the Christian faith with humility and respect. Welcome back to Burden and Blessing. This morning we're going to be taking a look at some of the Reformation doctrines that are important, some that are familiar and some that are unfamiliar. We'll be taking a look at this morning as well as over the next couple of weeks as we move forward toward the 500th anniversary of the marking of the Reformation, which was on October 31st, 1516. When Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg. As we do that over the last 500 years, we recognize that many of the Reformation doctrines, those things that were brought back to light by God through Martin Luther, are still things that are relevant to us in this 21st century. And so with me this morning to go through the first of these five Reformation doctrines is Rob Sowers. We're going to be taking a look this morning at the doctrine of the theology of the cross as opposed to the theology of glory, which is prevalent in a lot of Christian churches today. And Rob is going to take us through that study. Just as a basis or as an overview of what we're going to be covering over the next couple of weeks, we'll also be taking a look at the Reformation doctrines of justification, the means of grace, the two kingdoms, and that emphasizes both the secular as well as the spiritual kingdoms, the doctrine of vocation, and then again this morning, the theology of the cross. Welcome and glad to have you with us this morning, Rob.
Yeah, good to be with you, Nathaniel. Excited to go through this series and to talk about the theology of the cross. It's maybe one of these doctrines, maybe the one of the five that might be the least familiar to our listeners, but it really incorporates, well, especially justification and the means of grace. As you mentioned, we're going to get into those, but the theology of the cross is really a lot about how we live out our lives, considering the fact that we're justified by grace through faith and considering all that we receive through the means of grace and word and sacrament. So that's kind of where we're going today. We're going to talk about kind of how we live our Christian lives out, and it's under this theology of the cross.
So as we come to this 500th anniversary of the Reformation, we go back to some of those doctrines that Luther came to understand and value in his life. And as you pointed out, the theology of the cross is founded upon the theology of justification, the fact that God has redeemed us from sin, that he has declared us not guilty in Christ. And yet there's an interesting thing with the theology of the cross and the theology of glory that we see within Christianity today, that there are those who want to reject the cross. You see how churches have taken down crosses. They don't want to emphasize that bad idea or that painful thought. And they also take out or want to remove the idea that the Christian also is under the cross in this life. Take us into what the theology of the cross is really all about.
So the theology of the cross, I might kind of describe this as the most sort of honest type of theology. And what I mean by that is it calls the things of this life what they are. And that harsh reality is that life is pretty tough sometimes. We don't want to think about that by nature, of course. We don't want to focus on those things. We want to focus on the glory of things. We want to focus on what makes us happy, what's going to put a smile on our face all the time. And so when we're talking about theology of glory, then we're talking about religion that tries to make us feel good about ourselves all the time. And what that does then is, well, in order to do that, we want to feel good about our works, about what we're doing, and we want to do whatever we can to avoid thinking about suffering and the cross. The scriptures, however, show us that the focus of really our theology is on that cross of Christ, the necessity of him, first and foremost, the necessity of Christ going to the cross to suffer and die for our sins. It's something that we don't want to look at, of course, by nature, because if we look at the cross, then we have to look at the reason why he had to suffer, and it's because of the ugliness of our sin. Something, again, that we don't want to look at. The other aspect of this theology of the cross that we don't want to look at is that we also then have to bear our own crosses, as our Lord tells us. He tells us in, well, we can go to Mark chapter 8, for example. We really, verse 31 and following is where we get really the best scriptural pointing to the theology of the cross. I'll start reading in verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And if you remember, when that happens, Peter takes Jesus aside and he rebukes him. He says, this should never be for you. And of course, we see Peter in that wanting to cling to the theology of glory there. He wanted the glory of an earthly kingdom where, sure, where everyone bowed down to Jesus, but he didn't want this to all come through suffering. And then Jesus goes on to teach after that, that not only is he going to suffer, but so are we in this world. And you could see through the pages of Scripture how suffering and Christianity, these things go hand in hand. And we learn very clearly in Scripture that, you know, there's no crown without the cross. So that's very difficult for people to deal with, but that's the reality of life. That's the reality of what the Scripture teaches us about what life is. Maybe that's not the most succinct definition of the theology of the cross, but there are so many angles to this. But really, it's about the fact that the Lord reveals himself through the cross. That's where he reveals himself, through his cross and through our own.
So it really emphasizes what we see in the Old and the New Testament. You think about the Apostle Paul. He says, we preach Christ crucified.
Yes.
That the theology of the cross is, it has to do with the work of Christ. And the work of Christ wasn't to come to heal. It wasn't to come to preach. It was to come to die, to give his life as a ransom for many. It's about his presence, yep, in our lives and how he draws us to himself through, yep, the cross.
That's exactly right. If I can just on that point, you know, I love the way that John in his gospel always uses the word sign to talk about Jesus' miracles, to point out very clearly that the miracles of Jesus, that's not what he's there for. These are signs to point people to what Jesus really is there for. It's to go to the cross.
So you also pointed out another aspect of the theology of the cross. The first and the most important part is that it emphasizes what Christ has accomplished for us and where and how.
Right.
But there's also this other aspect of the theology of the cross that deals with the difficulties and the hardships that we as Christians live through in a realistic and an honest way in our lives. You know, Hinduism says if you have pain, it's not real. You just have to come to the realization that it's not real and it will go away.
Right.
Well, that's a foolish way to view the world. We know that the pain that we face in this life is real. And the theology of the cross has an answer for why that pain is there, as opposed to the theology of glory, which says, I don't deserve this. And if God were really God and he were good, he wouldn't allow me to go through this. Right. So talk a little bit about those two aspects of the theology of the cross.
Sure. So, well, if I can, I want to kind of talk about, you know, you talked about how that kind of works in Hinduism, where there's sort of that denial of the reality of suffering, that it's not a real thing. That is so prevalent, I think, in, I'll call it, I guess, popular Christianity today. And, you know, you look at somebody like a Joel Osteen, for example, and in all of his preaching, it's all about this basically positive thinking is going to make you feel better about everything. If you feel discouraged, then you know, just think positive thoughts. I'll give you sort of just one really quick quote from a sermon he preached once. Start believing today that things are going to change for the better. Your best days are still out in front of you. That's what this theology of glory teaches, that, you know, if I could just positively think about everything, that everything is going to be great in the here and now, that I could really have glory here on this earth, that I could have heaven here on earth. And the problem is you have to kind of lie to yourself to make that true. You have to be dishonest with yourself because life is hard. There is suffering in this life, and we can try to bury our head in the sand and try to avoid it, or, you know, that's why people turn to things like drugs and alcohol to try to avoid the reality of that. But the reality of life, as explained very clearly in the theology of the cross, is that this world is full of suffering because since the fall, this creation is corrupt. Now, what we have to look forward to, of course, and this is what the theology of the cross really looks forward to, is because of what Jesus did on the cross, we have a glory to come in heaven that is going to be forever, and it's going to be far beyond any glory that we can have here. So that's what we focus on. That's what our motivation is, to persevere through the sufferings that we face in this world.
That kind of reminds me of just the contrast that you just laid out there between the theology of the cross and the theology of glory. Reminds me of what Paul writes when he says that the sufferings of this life, that's the theology of the cross,
right,
are not worthy to be compared with the glory that awaits for us in eternity.
Right.
And that's really what it is for us, isn't it? What the theology of glory does is it wants to take that glory that God has promised for us, that he has won for us through the cross of Christ, and it wants to make it ours now instead of in the future.
Yeah, and that's part of that, what we refer to in theological circles, I think, as the opinio legis, that opinion of man that wants to make salvation about ourselves. And it sounds kind of funny, maybe, that that's what it is, but a theology of glory wants to bring glory to this earth, in part because we want to feel like we're bringing that about ourselves, that we are somehow making this goodness happen here, and in the end, it's something that, well, it's all about us earning that glory, I think. Theology of the cross is very honest about the fact that we're dead in trespasses and sins, and the only way that we have any glory is because of what Jesus did on the cross. So it's such a difference in mindset, and it goes back to that old opinion of man, which you see in every religion outside of Christianity, that it's all about me, it's all about my works. And if you go to the Heidelberg Confession, for example, or Luther's statements from the Heidelberg Disputation, which is where this phrase was first coined, I think this one, it's his thesis number 22 from the Disputation. He says, that wisdom which sees the invisible things of God in works as perceived by man is completely puffed up, blinded, and hardened. And that's exactly what it is. We look to our own works. We try to see signs from God in them. And then what does that do? It turns us right back in on ourselves. And now we're not looking to that justification that's preached so clearly in Scripture. And we're not looking to the means of grace either, those means that the Lord gives us through word and sacrament for our glory either. We're actually turning back in on ourselves, ultimately making our own religion, more or less.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting, and that's exactly what's happened is you compare, if you compare the theology of glory, you pointed out the opinio legis, every man-made religion is a theology of glory, isn't it?
It is, absolutely, because unless the Lord reveals to us, you know, what's so amazing about Scripture is that He reveals to us a way of salvation which we would never have thought
right.
of. There is no aspect of, you mean we get saved because of what somebody else did, and I don't have to do anything at all to contribute to that? That doesn't make any sense at all to my human reasoning.
And then going back to, again, that the foundation for the theology of the cross, not only does God do that in someone else, mm-hmm. but He doesn't do it in a way that man would expect either. Just like the disciples of Jesus, you mentioned from Mark earlier, yep. that Peter and the other disciples, they expected Jesus to come like a conqueror, like a mighty monarch in order to destroy the Romans and all of the enemies of the Jews. That's not the way Jesus comes either. One of the greatest examples of, I think, the theology of the cross and what it really focuses on is Isaiah 53. That he was beaten, he was abused, stricken, smitten, and afflicted. You know, he suffered, and that's not what we would want as human beings either. You mean I've got to worship this God, this King who died?
Yeah.
What kind of a God is that? But that's the foundation for the theology of the cross, ultimately.
Yeah. Let's go back to that Mark 8 passage too, because that's and let's look at the example of Peter, because he's just the perfect example of someone who embraces the theology of the cross and then later comes all the way the other direction to embrace the theology of glory. But, you know, right before Jesus talks about the fact that he's going to have to suffer and we're going to have to bear our own cross too, you've got Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ, that he's the Messiah. What Peter wants, though, is that he wants Jesus to be exactly the kind of Messiah that you just mentioned. It was exactly the kind of Messiah that the people were looking for, this earthly king who would throw off everyone who didn't like the Jewish people and reestablish the throne in Jerusalem and rule forever there. That's what Peter was looking for, and that's why he's so offended when Jesus talks about the suffering of the cross, and he doesn't want to talk anything about the cross. Fast forward to Pentecost. And what is the center of what what Peter is preaching?
The cross.
The necessity of the cross. And you look at the couple of sermons that we have of Peter in the book of Acts, and it's all on the necessity of the cross. And then move forward to 1 Peter, a book that we covered a few weeks ago in our podcast, and you see how Peter keeps in mind that centrality of the cross. And so now when he sees the persecution that's going to come, he can accept that and he can write about it in a hopeful way because he understands that it's only through the cross that that crown comes.
So building on that for just a little bit, let's go back to the theology of glory, the contrast to what we've been talking about here. You mentioned Joel Osteen earlier. A lot of these modern evangelicals that you have today that promise health, wealth, and victory, you know, no suffering in this life, it's interesting that's what we want, isn't it? Our human nature, our flesh wants what they're offering. It wants a life without any trouble, without any suffering, with the promise of wealth and prosperity and beauty and all of those things. And yet, it's interesting, isn't it, that it's through the need in our lives, the suffering in our lives, that we are brought back to depend on God, to have a realization of the fact that we have to trust in Him because we can't do it on our own. You think about Job.
Yeah.
And all of these examples throughout both the Old and the New Testament, God uses the difficulties that cross in our lives as Christians to draw us to Himself, whereas the theology of glory simply pushes us away from God. We say, hey, I have all of this stuff. I don't need God anymore.
That's right. Yeah. The theology of the cross is quite a paradox. It seems like it doesn't make sense. You know, on the one end, the Christian cross is all about struggle. On the other end, though, we rejoice in that cross because without that, we would do just what you said. We would look right back in on ourselves and we wouldn't look to our Lord. for what we need in this life, and we wouldn't look to him for our salvation. It's actually that cross that keeps us on that narrow way. So while it's painful, it's something that we also rejoice in. That's the great paradox of the theology of the cross.
Yeah, it sure is, and it keeps us grounded too, doesn't it?
Sure. Yeah, it does. And that's what I really love about the way that our Lutheran liturgy approaches this too is, we're not, obviously in the Lutheran Church, we're not all about getting wound up into, an excited feel-good sort of frenzy in our worship service. And I suppose to the world today, sometimes that can seem pretty boring. But notice how our liturgy really keeps us grounded. The liturgy helps us to realize, first of all, that we come into this worship service as broken people, as sinful people who have been pushed down by the world around us, who have been pushed down by that old man that lives within us. And so we come as poor, miserable sinners and confess our sins, but then receive that wonderful absolution. Even after we receive that wonderful absolution, though, we sing in the Kyrie, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. So there's really that honest way in our Lutheran worship under which we understand that this life is a cross, but what's right at the center of all of that is Christ's cross, which drives us to go forward. So yeah, I mean, it really keeps us grounded, and that's what I love about our Lutheran theology, our Lutheran liturgy.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I think that kind of draws us from the theology of the cross to many of the other doctrines that we'll be covering over the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. You brought in the liturgy, and it's interesting that God would hide himself in a man.
Yeah.
A man who had no form or comeliness that we should, that we should desire him, Isaiah tells us, but a man who would suffer and would die. And yet God has chosen to reveal himself in those, in the weak, Paul says, in those who are not wise, those who are not wealthy in this world. God has chosen to reveal it to them, and he has chosen to reveal his son, our Savior, in the eyes of the world, in a weak way. And yet it is through the weakness of, same thing with our liturgy, some people would come in and say, ha, that is boring.
Right.
How mundane, dull could you get? And yet God has chosen again to reveal himself to sinners in a way in which human beings would not desire. And he does that in order to emphasize just how great what his gifts are. The person of the work of the Savior, the body and the blood of Christ and the bread and the wine, the washing sins, the washing of our sins away through the water of baptism. God has revealed to hide himself in these things.
Yeah.
And it emphasizes the power of God, not the power of man.
And that's, I think you've pinpointed it right there, that's exactly why the Lord chooses to use those simple means. So that will, If God came to us, in this big flash of light and, that's how we would look at what our life should be, this big flash of light and glory. But no, he comes to us through the simple means, through his simple word, which looks to us as, just another book, right? Well, not to us, to the world. It looks like another book, and it's a book that people have less and less regard for, but in that we have revealed to us the very word, the very will of God, and he uses that to show us the way of salvation, and not just to show us, but that word has such power that it actually causes us to come to faith. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you know, you take the simple means of grace through water, you know, simple water in baptism, plain ordinary water, but when it's connected with that word, becomes this powerful washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit that brings a sinner who's dead in trespasses and sins, brings them to faith. And then in the Lord's Supper as well, you know, those ordinary means of grace, ordinary bread and wine, but with the Lord's word and command attached to that, it's that participation in the very body and blood of Christ, his presence with us in that meal where he assures us once again of the forgiveness of sins. So it's these plain, ordinary things in this world that we would never look to otherwise, that, yeah, that's how he shows himself to us. He shows himself in the hidden things.
You know, one of the reasons that we chose these five doctrines to highlight this year, some of them, again, are more familiar. This one is less familiar. Mm-hmm. And yet, with each one of these doctrines, there is a very serious danger when we misunderstand or misuse the doctrine. Yep. And ultimately, what you've pointed out here with the theology of the cross, that if you go to a theology of glory, it becomes a work righteous religion.
Yep.
That you've done away with the cross of Christ. That is not the means of salvation. You have become your own means of salvation. It's your own glory that ultimately we desire.
Mm-hmm.
And over the next couple of weeks, as we highlight each one of these doctrines, we will see just how important not only the positive proclamation of these doctrines are, but also the dangers of the opposite of those doctrines, and that without these doctrines, we go to a very dangerous place that leads us away from Christ, away from the salvation that he has won for us. We think about those doctrines of, you know, by grace alone, by faith alone, through scripture alone, ultimately we lose that when we depart from these other doctrines that we will be taking a look at as well. So our human flesh, it wants success, doesn't it? It wants victory. It wants happiness. It wants all of those things right here and right now. And yet God in his wisdom instead gives us the cross. And thanks be to God that he does.
Absolutely.
As you pointed out, we can't come up with our own religion. If we did, we'd never come up with the one that he did, but it's only through God's plan of salvation that we ultimately have our salvation from sin and from death. Well, thanks for being with us this morning, Rob, and taking us through this important doctrine, highlighting the difference between the theology of the cross, which is what Scripture reveals to us, what God has given to us in Christ in our own Christian lives, but also highlighting the dangers of the theology of glory, which is prevalent in the world around us, in evangelicalism, and even in our own heart when we really get down to it. So we appreciate your time this morning and for walking us through this important doctrine of the Reformation. As always, we are glad that you've joined us this morning as we've gone through this study. We hope that you'll join us over the next couple of weeks as we move forward toward the Reformation, as we highlight some of these other doctrines of the Reformation. And as always, we invite you to share your thoughts or comments with us through our email or through our website. We hope that you'll join us again next week. May the Lord and his grace continue to keep you all. Amen.
We hope that you will join us next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast. Our goal is always to bring you the whole counsel of God. Until next time, go in the strength of the Lord and preach the word.